Well, welcome everybody, and good to see you all this evening. Welcome to those of you who are new, and of course welcome to those of you who are not so new. This evening we're going to recap something that for those of you who've been meditating for a while you've probably come across before. For those of you who are new, then this will be new to you, and this is actually a good way to start, a good thing to start with. Because what we're going to contemplate in tonight's meditation are the things that get in the way of our meditation. We all come to meditation with good intentions. And, you know, often we think, hey, sitting on a cushion and being still for 30 minutes, how hard can that be? And inevitably we find that it's work, that the things aren't as easy as we'd hoped. And one of the things that we really need to understand as we meditate is that the things that make our meditation difficult are actually part of the meditation, okay? That they're actually part of doing the practice. I mean, it would be the same way that you wouldn't go to the gym and say, you know, I want to use that machine, but take all the weight off of it because that makes it difficult, okay? The weights are what make it worth using the machine, okay? And in the same way, when we meditate, it's the things that make it difficult that actually make it worth doing the meditation, okay? And traditionally, there are five what are called hindrances to meditation practice. And this is going back, you know, 1,000 or 2 years, but they had the same problems then that we have today. And traditionally, there are five hindrances. And what I want to do is I want to introduce you to the five hindrances and give you some initial pointers to how we deal with the hindrances. And the first four of the hindrances come in two pairs, okay, where they're kind of opposites of each other. So the first two are sensual desire. And what we mean by that is clinging, wanting stuff. Okay, you can sit here wanting to be doing something else. Okay, whether it's, you know, thinking about a person you fancy, or whether it's thinking about the holiday you'd like to take, or, you know, whether it's wishing that your life were a bit easier one way or another, or, you know, thinking about your favorite hobby or the TV show that you're going to watch, whatever it is where you're clinging to something else, okay? And that's the first of the hindrances. And the second hindrance, which is really the opposite of that, is ill will or anger. And that's when you're sitting there and you're trying to meditate, and all you can do is be annoyed about that person who said something to you today, or angry with me because I'm not talking very clearly, or you're annoyed that, you know, that your car's been running roughly, or whatever it is. This desire for things to be different and this ill will towards things out there. So you see how those two are kind of opposite sides of the same coin. On one it's the desire for things, on the other thing, on the ill will side, it's the wanting to push things away, okay? But what they have in common is that both of them are a wish for things to be different than they really are, okay? Whether it be through clinging or aversion. And then the third and the fourth are, again, opposites of each other, and you're probably familiar with these. One is sloth and torpor, and the other is restlessness. Again, they're opposites. Sloth and torpor is where, you know, you want to be meditating, but really you're falling asleep. Okay? or you just can't be bothered, or you're just lying there and sitting there and thinking, oh, oh, you know that feeling. I like the words sloth and torpor. It's a kind of a nice way to think of it. But it's this idea that you're sitting there very low energy. Okay. And then restlessness is the opposite. Restlessness is the high energy version where you want to fidget and you want to move your legs. Okay. And you really want to be doing something different. And you're really wishing that the meditation would finish because you've got so many other things to do. And this is far more boring than you thought it was going to be, et cetera, et cetera. So you have this feeling of restlessness. And then the final one, and it kind of, it's the one that the other four kind of lead to. The final one is doubt. And this is not doubt in a good way. Doubt actually can be a very positive thing. You know, using doubt as a way to say, hey, I really want to find this out for myself, rather than just accepting what everybody else says. That's actually positive. Okay. But doubt in the sense of, oh, I'm a lousy meditator. You know, I've been doing this for 17 years and I'm still not any better at it. Oh, will this really help me? Oh, here I'm doing, what am I doing here? I'm just sitting here. You know, this is silly. There are better ways I could be spending my time. I'm a useless meditator anyway. All these things, okay? And doubt is kind of the one that builds from the other four, in the sense that if we allow the other four to take control, then the fifth one, doubt, really starts to grow. Because then we start saying, this is a waste of time, why am I doing this? All these things. So those are the five traditional hindrances. And by the way, you don't have to remember these. Sometime over this week, I'll put up on the website the list of the hindrances and some of the links to the other things I'll be talking about. So those are the five traditional hindrances. And one of the things I really want to emphasize, and this is the thing that's important when we understand what meditation practice is, if you step back and think about them, these are not just hindrances to meditation. These are hindrances in our daily life. When we're out there walking through the world, when we're clinging to things, or when we have aversion to things, when our minds are restless, or when we're low energy and have sloth and torpor, or when we have self-doubt, all of those things stop us from being fully present in the world. Okay? And if you think about it, what we're doing when we meditate, when we work with those five things, we're practicing working with those same five things in the world when we're actually out there. And so don't think that this is just about meditation. This is about how do we become fully present in the world as well when we're not sitting on the cushion. So along those lines, the teacher Lawrence Cox says the following. These hindrances are ways the mind stops us from engaging with what's actually happening, on the cushion or off of it. They aren't the only painful things that can happen in the mind, nor are they always painful. Certainly, they aren't anything to beat ourselves up over. The mind does this sort of thing. Like a young child, it can be hard to keep it interested in something. It has a tendency to wander off and do something else. So these aren't hindrances because they're bad. They're hindrances simply because they get in the way of our meditation. And so there are traditional ways to work with the hindrances. And I'm going to teach you one way, the way that the Vipassana tradition usually teaches. You'll also hear taught things called antidotes or remedies. I'm not going to talk about the antidotes or remedies today, but suffice to say, basically they are about encouraging the opposite of whatever's happening. So if you've got sloth and torpor, it's about encouraging energy and energeticness. If you've got restlessness, it's about encouraging peace. If you've got ill will, it's about encouraging love. Okay, so you see how really just working with the opposite of it is a way that you can work with them. And those are called the antidotes, traditionally. But there's a rather nice little way to work with them, which is what I'm going to suggest we do tonight. And it uses the acronym RAIN, okay? And RAIN stands for Recognize, Accept, Investigate, and Non-Identification. So the first three are easy, the fourth one's slightly more difficult, okay? So I'll go through each of them and say what they are. The first is when we're meditating to recognize that, oh, this is going on, okay? This is what's going on in my mind right now, okay? And I'm sleepy, or I'm restless, or I'm annoyed at somebody, or I'm desiring something else, okay? Or I have self-doubts, all of these five things, okay? And so just recognizing, oh, that's what's going on. And then the A in RAIN is accept, okay? And this is very important, okay? The accept part is to say, it's not to say, oh, this is going on, so I need to change it, but instead to say, actually, that's what my mind is doing right now, okay? That just is what my mind is doing. And so you're observing. Effectively, the accept is like observing. The observing saying, this is what's going on. Not trying to fight it, not trying to immediately push it away and change it, but just to say, hey, that's what's going on in my meditation right now. And then the investigate is to step back and be a little sloth-like and say, ah, why am I like that? What's going on? How does it feel to do this? You know, if you're sitting there annoyed with somebody, think, how does that make me feel? How does that manifest in my body? Okay, what am I doing to myself when I'm angry with somebody? Okay, really investigating what's going on. Why might I be thinking that? Why am I doing that? Okay. Again, non-judgmentally, not trying to get rid of it, not trying to solve it, you know. Those of us who are type A people, and I'm going to talk especially to the men here who desperately want to fix any problem the moment it comes up, okay, not trying to fix it, just saying, this is what's going on, okay, and investigating it. So recognize, accept, investigate. And then the final one is non-identification, okay? And what that really means is to say, is it's really going the next step of accepting and saying, this is just what's happening. This isn't me. This is just temporary. This is what's going on. It's not that I'm an angry person, okay? Or it's not that I'm always a restless person. This is just how it is at the moment. This is not me, okay? This is just how my mind is at the moment. And this is a really important step, okay? This idea that we say, yeah, okay, at the moment I'm desiring something. I'm sitting here thinking of, you know, I'd rather be eating cheesecake, okay? And to say at the end of it, well, that's not me. I'm not defined by my desire for cheesecake. It just happens to be where I am right this moment, okay? And so that's the non-identification. So RAIN, recognize, accept, investigate, and non-identification. So those are the four. Now, that's quite a lot to remember, and I'm not expecting you this evening to remember them all, okay? But, you know, if you can try with one or two of the things as they come up, recognize, accept, investigate, and non-identification, okay? So what we're going to do, we're going to do a very simple breath meditation this evening, okay? Just, you know, without anything more than just trying to stay with our breath. And of course, as we do our breath meditation, things will come up, okay? We'll find that we're getting sleepy, or we'll find that we're getting restless and we desperately want to move our legs around. We'll find that we start thinking about something that gives us pleasure and we want to have more of and think more about it and start to cling. You know, we'll remember things that are annoying us at the moment and we'll do whatever it is. And, you know, if you're like me or most of us, maybe you'll have self-doubts thinking, what am I doing here? You know, why am I wasting this beautiful Sunday evening sat in a sweaty studio, you know? You're going to think that, you know, you're going to have those self-doubts. And when they come up, when you recognize them, remember the thing about the weight machine at the gym? Say, great, there are weights on my machine. I can work with this, okay? This will help me, okay? And work with it through recognition, acceptance, investigation, and non-identification. So a lot to remember. Like I say, I'm not expecting you to remember it all this evening. I will actually put it all up on the website in the next few days, hopefully. But these are things that we can do to work with the traditional hindrances. We start our meditation by taking a moment to let go of all the things that have been on our mind this evening. The good stuff, the not so good stuff. Thoughts of the week ahead, the memories of the week gone by. Recognizing that some of those things are important and some of those things are really not so important. But for now, just giving ourselves the gift of being present here to meditate. Becoming aware of the sounds around us, sound of the traffic in the street, sound of the air conditioning, sound of our friends about us. And just being aware and completely accepting of all those sounds. Now turning your attention to the place where the weight of your body presses down through the cushion, the mat, the chair. Noticing the sensations of pressure on your feet, ankles, legs, knees, backside. And aware that as your body presses downward, so the cushion, the mat, the chair are all pressing back upward to support you in this place. And beneath them, the studio floor, the foundations, and ultimately the earth beneath us, are all pressing back up to support you in this place. and taking a moment to feel that connection with the earth. Same earth that you share with billions of other people, trillions of other creatures. And from that connection with the earth, noticing your pelvis and your spine arising from your pelvis, and taking a moment to lengthen and straighten your spine, maybe moving gently side to side, backwards and forwards, until you find the place where your body is naturally supported by your spine. Similarly with your neck and your head, gently moving your head, lengthening and straightening your neck until you find the place where your head is naturally supported by your neck. And as your body calms, allowing your mind to calm also. Not fighting with your thoughts, not trying to suppress them. And instead, when a thought arises, just acknowledging it and letting go. Becoming aware of your breathing, noticing the depth and the quality of your breath. Noticing the sensations in the whole of your body as you breathe. Noticing the in-breath. And noticing the out-breath. Noticing the small pause between the end of the in-breath and the beginning of the out-breath. And the pause while your body waits after the end of the out-breath for the arising of the new in-breath. And for our meditation, allowing your mind to rest in gentle awareness of your breathing. Not grasping onto the breath, not concentrating as hard as you possibly can, but instead just resting in a gentle awareness of the process of your breathing. And gently as you meditate, noticing when hindrances arise that get in the way of your gentle awareness of your breathing. Whether it's your mind desiring other things and wandering off, imagining what it would be like to have them. Whether it's ill will and anger arising. Whether it's sloth, torpor, sleepiness, low energy. Whether it's restlessness and fidgeting and just the desire to move on. Or whether it's self-doubt, unsure of why you're doing this or whether it's even worth doing. And if any of those things arise, just acknowledging them and addressing them using the RAIN acronym. Recognizing what's going on. Accepting what's going on as just where your mind is right now. Investigating how it makes you feel. What effect it has on you and your body. And non-identification, reminding yourself that this doesn't define you. It's just how your mind happens to be for this moment. And now, very gently, return your awareness to being here in the studio with a group of friends. And now we'll dedicate the merit. May all beings, without limit, without end, have a share in the merit just now made, and in whatever other merit I have made. May they attain liberation, and their radiant hopes be fulfilled.